No person is as near to us, as close to us, and as continually present with us as the divine person of God. God is spirit. Dionysius the Areopagite says that God is beyond spirit. Therefore, by virtue of God's nature, he is so all-pervading and present everywhere that at every moment a person is with him, or, at every moment, through the spirit of faith, can see him and speak with him. It is considered a great honor when someone has the freedom to speak with an important person in this world, and that friendship is regarded as something very great. But God is above all human beings and angels, and all of us who believe in God have the honor of speaking with him and seeing him with the eyes of faith. All the prayers of our church, the troporia, the hymns, and the doxastica, are prayers. But the distilled essence of all these prayers and of the church's hymnody is the short prayer known as noetic prayer. This prayer is not many words. It is only 5 words. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. With this little prayer, we can be in communion with God at every moment, unceasingly, without ever stopping. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us as well. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The Neptic Fathers of our church tell us a great deal about noetic prayer. The ascetic fathers of the early centuries lived in caves or in the deserts, in places very far removed from the world. In those days, books were not published as they are today, and so they did not have many things to read. But what did the hermits meditate on day and night? They had, of course, the university of the whole creation. From the created universe, the effect, they ascended to Theoria, the contemplation of its cause, God. They contemplated creation and saw the wonders of God. One day, an ascetic was walking along when he saw a very beautiful flower. He tapped it with his little staff and said to it, "Do not cry out so loudly." By this, the ascetic meant to tell us that the flower spoke eloquently of the wisdom of God. It cried out so loudly, proclaiming how beautiful God must be. If even one tiny thing is fashioned with such extraordinary wisdom, how much more did the ascetics behold when, with the eyes of faith, with the perfectly clear eyes of the nous, the spiritual intellect, and of the heart, they gazed upon the whole of creation. The great fathers say that every created thing has its own voice. Each one speaks of the greatness of God. A person cannot attain the ability to hear the voices of created things unless the nous, the heart, and the whole human being are purified through ascesis, the ascetic discipline. Arsenius the Great had been a very eminent philosopher in the eyes of the world. Later, he went into the desert and lived a life of extremely strict monastic ascesis. He withdrew completely. He spoke with no one, and no one even saw him. Although he possessed great worldly learning, the spiritual wisdom he received through ascesis and solitude was incomparably greater and more spiritual. His life relates that from sunset onward, he would raise his hands in prayer and would not lower them until the following day, when the rising sun shone upon his face. He kept them raised throughout the whole night, but how could he hold his hands like that? Naturally, it is extremely difficult, and yet, when one is close to God, nothing is impossible. Where were the whole nous and the whole heart of Arsenius throughout that night? Was he reading books? No. He was caught up in the Holy Spirit, in Theoria, in divine vision. He was delighting in the good things of heaven. He was in direct communion with God, and from this case we learn that if anyone is to commune with God, or rather, to be united with him in a real and fruitful way, he needs to set himself apart a little from other people, and to set his mind apart from everyday affairs, so that in a spirit of stillness of mind of Hesychia, he may be able through prayer to commune with God, the source of all happiness. The nous, the spiritual intellect, directs the entire inner life of the human person. If the nous is cleansed of logismoi, of impure, intrusive thoughts, of thoughts that defile a person, then the heart is cleansed at the same time, or rather, it attains purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Of course, as we have said, God is not human in form, so that a person might see him with bodily eyes. Rather, God is known by the human heart in a mystical and ineffable way. When a Christian prays properly, that is, with an undistracted nous, not allowing it to wander or scatter here and there, but keeping it fixed on the meaning of the words and on the meaning of the prayer, and praying with humility, Then he begins to perceive the fruits of prayer. The fruit and culmination of humble prayer is that a person comes to catenexis, to compunction, and finally to tears, either tears of metanoia, of repentance, or tears of great joy and love for God. The Neptic fathers of our church have spoken to us about nepsis, which means guarding the nous, that is, attentiveness of the nous. When the nous watches over itself and guards itself from wandering, and when, through attentiveness, it remains free from the assaults of evil logismoi, the heart is cleansed at the same time and freed from the passions. The passions are rooted in the human heart. Their roots have become so badly entangled around it that purification is very difficult. The Neptic fathers tell us that nothing cleanses the heart so effectively as nepsis, that is, watchfulness, the spiritual attentiveness by which the nous refuses to admit fantasies, faces, objects, and scenes, everything that the body's five senses have carelessly heaped up within it. Through these sinful images and fantasies, the nous takes in the poison of sin. This poison descends into the heart. The heart is poisoned, and that poison spreads throughout the person's whole being. Thus he becomes ruled by the passions, sinful and impure, without boldness before God. But nepsis, this attentiveness and guarding of the nous, also guards a person's imaginative faculty, for what we call the imagination is one faculty of the nous. When nepsis shuts out the images of sin, images that give birth to evil logismoi, while those evil logismoi awaken the sinful sensation anew, the imagination remains pure. When those images are absent, and a person gives the nous its proper work, which must be prayer, then the nous enters into true communion with God. This struggle is not a small one, nor is it as easy as it sounds while we speak of it here, because the nous never ceases to work. Whatever we give it, that is what it will work upon within us. It is like a working mill. If the miller pours in wheat, it will grind wheat. But if someone else comes and throws in refuse, it will grind refuse. Therefore, whatever we allow the nous to take into itself will determine the result. For this reason, we must be watchful whenever evil logismoi and sinful images come to us. For they disturb a person inwardly, and in this way, many harmful things arise. When the nous is guarded from these logismoi and from these filthy images of sin, both the devil and sin are shut out, because everything begins in the nous. When we cleanse our nous and do not allow these things to assail us, the inner house of our heart and soul remains in good order. Therefore, if we want our inner person, our heart and soul, to be at peace, we must guard the nous. But the logismoi, the intrusive thoughts, will cause us to fall when we open a door to them, or rather, when we open the door to these thoughts and allow them to enter the house of our nous and our heart, then the struggle begins. And if we do not drive them away at once, cast them out, and deal firmly with them, they will take hold of us, overcome us, and bring us into a state of sin called consent. Consent is an act of the soul. Just as the body commits a sin, so too the soul commits sin through consent. For this reason, the Lord tells us in His holy gospel, whoever looks at another person and desires them has already sinned within his heart. Thus, there is such a thing as sin of the heart. God, who searches hearts and innermost thoughts, knows what has taken place within the heart, and therefore it comes under judgment. This is a matter of great importance. We must take care not to let the logismoi assail us, or rather, not to yield to them. At the beginning, it does not require much effort to stop evil logismoi. The effort comes afterward, once we have admitted them and allowed them to advance. Suppose, for example, that the door of our house opens directly onto a busy road. Anyone can knock at the door or ring the bell. Anyone can knock at the door and ask to come inside. But then the struggle begins, because we will have the trouble of removing him from the house. And if we allow this evil person to go farther inside, the effort required will be greater. Once he binds the master of the house hand and foot, from that moment on he becomes master of the house himself. In the same way, an evil logismos, an intrusive thought, knocks at the door of the nous. It wants to enter. A sinful thought comes to us concerning one thing or another. When we lack attention, when we lack nepsis, watchfulness, and do not guard the nous, we let the intrusive thought enter. It forms within us an image of a person, an object, a scene, and so forth, drawn from whatever we have seen, tasted, touched, or otherwise experienced through the five senses. And if we do not take it seriously, that intrusive thought begins to wound the nose. If we are negligent again, it advances, grows stronger, and inflames the heart. Once it has inflamed the heart, it begins to defile it. And then a great struggle is needed to heal the wound and drive the intrusive thought out. For when a person gives the devil a claim over him through one of the passions, it is not so easy to take that claim back, because the devil fights for it with great fury. For he says, I labored so hard to gain this claim over this soul. This is why the fathers say that the passions grow old with a person and die with him, and so we see people of advanced age doing shameful things. Someone may ask, at their age, are these people still doing such things? Yet this means that the person made no effort in youth to be freed from them. Therefore, they continue to follow him and will remain with him until death. And beyond death, as the bitter fruit of sin, he will have to give a grave account before God. Some people who do not properly understand this work of nepsis, or rather, this art of arts and science of sciences, concerning the inner person, say, but since I did not turn these intrusive thoughts and fantasies into actions, there is nothing wrong. Yes, but evil does not begin by itself. The body does not begin to sin unless a person first sets it in motion by yielding within his nous and heart. Therefore, when a person understands that the defilement of the soul begins here, he guards his nose with attention, the fear of God, and wisdom. He sees an object, a person, or something else, and it becomes a cause of temptation. At once he summons his attention, turns his eyes away, erases the image from his imagination, or immediately begins to pray. In this way, he stops the evil at its beginning. A house remains clean when it is put in order continually, every day, not when the housewife sweeps it only after 10 or 20 days. We know that the more carefully a house is tended, the cleaner it remains in every respect. So it is with the human soul, the inner house, the human heart, which is the house of God and the sacred altar of the Holy Spirit. For the human person is a temple of God, and God dwells within this temple. Do you not know, says the Apostle Paul, that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And again, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. That is, through the holy baptism we received, our souls were granted rebirth through the Holy Spirit, who descended upon us at the moment of holy baptism. The human heart, the human soul, became a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is why holy baptism is necessary for us. Through it we receive the grace of the Holy Spirit within us. Through the Holy Spirit and the grace received within, the infant becomes holy from that very moment. But because of its age, the child does not know what it has received. The devil, with all his craft and cunning, works very subtly and quietly. As the child grows, he tries to push it toward various forms of carelessness, creating conditions that allow him to begin his evil work within before the child is old enough to understand. As sins accumulate over time, all these things cover the grace of the Holy Spirit. This refuse of sin buries that grace, and the Holy Spirit no longer illumines the nous. And so the person lives in darkness. But when the wind of God begins to blow through metanoia, repentance, a return to God, holy confession, and all these things, then everything sin has piled up is cast out. The heart is thus freed from this burden. Then the grace of the Holy Spirit, or rather, the rays and radiance of the Holy Spirit, rises into the nous. The person is illumined and returns once again to divine illumination. The world and its people cannot fully understand this work of nepsis, of watchfulness, though it is so important. They do not know that through the work of nepsis, they can advance quickly and readily toward purification of the soul and freedom from the passions. Nevertheless, to some extent, we can also cultivate prayer while living in the world, what will greatly help us and enable us to make progress. The obstacle is that the mind is preoccupied, and that doesn't leave it free to attend to prayer. When we have trust, we say that God will help. God won't abandon me. He will deliver me. No harm will come to me. So let us free the mind from all these concerns, and let us find a little time apart from our work. Many cares do to us what tuberculosis does. Tuberculosis slowly wears a person down and leads him to death. In the same way, the many cares of this life gradually wear a person down, and when death comes, it finds him completely sick in soul. This is a very great evil in the world, and we must set aside time. Indeed, the Neptic fathers say that whether we are walking, working, eating, or drinking, we should be praying with our nous. We do not need to offer elaborate theological prayers. They gave us this short prayer, the Jesus prayer, which is all-powerful and possesses a renewing power. It has the power to overthrow the devil and bring God himself fully into the heart. Especially when a person protects himself with this little prayer, he shuts the devil out and casts him aside. It is as though he clears the obstacles away and travels freely along his path. When he does not pray, it is as though many obstacles lie before him. He becomes entangled, falls, is struck, wounded, and killed. Prayer, however, goes before him and clears the way so that he can advance freely in the spiritual life. This, of course, is very well known to the ascetic fathers, because no ascetic went into the desert already purified. All who went into the desert came from the world. They did not descend from heaven and then begin their ascesis in the wilderness. They came out of the world, from among the people who live in the world, and so they carried within themselves a whole world of passions and weaknesses with the help of hesychia, prayer, and communion with God. These people were gradually freed from the passions they had brought with them from the world. Earthly love can even drive a person mad. Merely hearing the beloved's name can inwardly transform him, though in a sinful way. If an earthly person can awaken such a state of love and longing, how much more did the people of God love God to this degree? Think about it. At the very mention of God, what an ocean of happiness they enter. What a sea of divine eros. That burning love for God. Take Saint Irene of Crisivalentu. She was a woman by nature, and by nature a woman is weaker than a man, and so on. And yet she reached such a height that she surpassed many ascetics in spiritual progress. As we know, this saint too would lift up her hands in prayer, and all night long she was outside herself, in ecstasy. She was caught up in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would take hold of her mind and her heart, draw them out of this world, and unite them with God. In that union she drew divine graces, and so she did not grow tired at all. As we have seen, one day the devil greatly envied her and wanted to harm her, if he could. While she stood praying with her hands raised, wholly given over to Theoria, the divine vision of God, and unaware of anything around her, the devil set her on fire to burn her. A nun reached her in time and put out the fire. While doing so, she shook and startled her, bringing her back to herself. The saint said to her, "My child, you have truly done me a very great harm in trying to save me from the fire. You deprived me of the crown that an angel was bringing at that very moment to place upon my head." Just think, shut inside her cell all night. She was not philosophizing, reading, or doing anything else. She was praying, and she was counted worthy to be crowned by a divine angel. How many such experiences? How many visions of angels? How many times her nose must have been caught up into the other world during all her years of communion with God? We see the height of communion with God that she attained through ascesis and through purification of both soul and body. Therefore, when we enter into Hezekiah, set aside certain matters that are not urgent, shut ourselves in our room, and give ourselves to prayer, we too will receive divine grace according to how fully we give ourselves and how humbly we pray. How simple it is! We have so many concerns, sorrows, and temptations, yet nothing prevents us from setting them aside for a few minutes, raising our hands to God, and giving Him our heart. It is impossible that we should not then receive an inner assurance from God. God does not want many elaborate prayers. He greatly loves the prayer of a child. A person can speak to God as a little child speaks to his mother and asks her for something with simplicity, innocence, and trust. This is the manner of prayer that greatly pleases God, for he says that unless we become like little children, we shall not be able to enter his kingdom. This does not mean that we must acquire a child's immaturity of mind, but that we must attain a child's innocence. Whatever you may do to a little child, the child does not hold a grudge against you. A few moments later, he may embrace you, kiss you, and offer you the innocent smile and pure gaze of a child, This is how a Christian must be in order to know God through love. Prayer accomplishes this. When a person prays and communes with God, he receives the Spirit of God within himself, and this enables him to respond to his neighbor when temptation arises. When we feel malice and hostility, when we cannot bear to look at another person, or when we entertain evil logismoi, intrusive thoughts about him, this means that we are not abiding in prayer. If we were praying, we would not be in such a state. That is why the Lord tells us, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Why did the Apostle Peter deny Christ 3 times? He denied him because he was not at prayer. The person who prays has God's help with him, and therefore does not fall. If we examine ourselves after every fall, we will see that we were not at prayer, and that is why we fell. Prayer, then, is the Christian's support. And since the fathers have given us this short but immensely powerful prayer, let us practice it. In the morning, as soon as we wake up, whether we are going to work, to school, to church, or anywhere else, the moment our eyes open, let our lips begin to say the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ. As we get ready for work or for any other task, let our lips never cease saying the Jesus prayer. This oral invocation, this prayer spoken with the lips, will gradually bring forth noetic prayer. The lips will hand the prayer over to the nous, and then there will no longer be any need to pray aloud in this way. And when the nous has grasped the prayer, made it its own, and can practice it freely within, the fathers tell us that the heart will then draw it in, absorb it, and attract it to itself. When the heart receives this prayer, the person comes to know through the felt experience of the heart, and understands through that experience what the words mean. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God, the grace of God, is revealed in the heart. For a person to reach this point, the prayer must reach the heart. And for noetic prayer to become the possession of the heart, time is certainly needed. This is not the achievement of a day or even a year. It requires many years of struggle. But the person who reaches this state of the heart is the happiest person on earth. And the fathers say that in every generation, there is said to be one such person of prayer. When the heart receives the prayer, it is as though Christ himself is enthroned within it in his fullness. And if Christ is in the Christian's heart, then the inner person is entirely free from anxiety. The whole person is ruled by the peace of God, and the peace of God is a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. It is a pledge of the kingdom of heaven. This does not simply mean that we are at peace because we have no logismoi, no intrusive thoughts, or because no passion is troubling us. No, it is not that kind of peace. The peace that comes from prayer is something altogether different. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, these things chiefly concern those who live far from the world. Within the world, this state is not so easily granted because the necessary conditions are not present. The world presents a great many obstacles. Even so, a Christian living in the world can still struggle, and if he cannot attain 100-fold, he may attain 30-fold. That is no small thing for someone living amid the noise of the world. So let us not despair because we cannot reach that exalted state. Let us press on toward the 30-fold, and we will still be blessed. There are people living in the world, men and women, young men and young women, and you can see how different one woman is from another. When the angel sent by God, the Archangel Gabriel, came to announce to our most holy Theotokos, all holy, that she would conceive Christ, he found her with a book in her hands. He found her reading Holy Scripture. And so, if the angel who guards our soul came today, would he also find us holding the book of Holy Scripture and studying the Word of God? Or would he see us reading something else, something deeply harmful? What matters is that time is passing. The years, the months, and the minutes all go by. And little by little, the rope is being drawn in, drawn in, drawn in. Temptation goes about its work, stealing this day from us, then that hour, and so on. The tempter sets before us, as though on a cinema screen, all kinds of worldly things, and keeps our eyes occupied with them. In this way, he steals our precious time. That is, he fixes our attention on vain things, while pulling the ground out from under our feet. Thank you. We must understand that we need to be watchful, And to return once more to the beginning of this talk, my fellow Christians, let us guard our nous, our spiritual mind, and our thoughts. Let us guard our five senses, and not allow them to reach out toward things they should not. There is so much around us that is ugly, sinful, and scandalous. If we are not watchful, all our senses become defiled. That defilement then passes into the nous and the heart, and we become unclean within. Anyone who is unclean has no communion with God, because the Holy Spirit does not descend upon an unclean heart. It gives the soul wings to rise toward heaven. The soul is united with God and becomes one with Him. It no longer thinks about worldly things, but remains in spiritual communion. In this way, it is continually sanctified. And the more it is sanctified, the closer it draws to God, and the more fully the Holy Spirit rests within it. Let us help ourselves a little in this way, by giving our nous the work of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Let our nous remain focused on the words and on the words alone, without images of any kind, neither divine, nor human, nor demonic, nor images of earthly things. Let us speak about the beautiful virtue of prayer. We know very well that prayer is a conversation between man and God. A person is counted worthy to speak with God. We must bring the attention of the nous, the spiritual intellect, fully to bear so that we can keep out evil logismoi, those intrusive thoughts, and not allow impure images to take shape in its imaginative faculty. When we keep these things out, there is no disturbance at all within the inner person. The assault of evil logismoi is brought to a halt. We pray that we may make a little effort and not allow evil logismoi, intrusive thoughts, to assail us. Of course, we cannot entirely prevent their assaults, for as long as a person remains subject to the passions, it is only natural that evil thoughts should arise. Simply being assailed by evil logismoi does not mean that a person has fallen. Enter. But if we do not open the door to him, then even though he knocked, he has achieved nothing of consequence. If, however, we are not careful and say, let us see what this is, who is knocking, and he deceives us with his way of presenting things and with his words, and we allow him to come in, then the toil, the hardship, and the struggle begin. As far as we can, as much as possible, we must place our trust in God. Whatever concern we may have, we should entrust it with confidence to God's providence. We should not let our concerns hold us captive, making us wonder in a merely human way, what will happen here? What will happen there? We must be freed from all this anxiety and constant preoccupation. Our task is to devote this time to private prayer, to spend half an hour or an hour in stillness, praying and studying. The more a person enters into stillness, the closer he draws to God. Be still and know that I am God. Here, be still means hezekiah, inner stillness, as far as possible. A person must set aside the cares of this life, the world, and come into close communion with God. And this close communion means nothing other than coming to know God mystically. That is why, at the mere sound of God's name, tears stream from the eyes of many fathers, tears of love. It is like what happens spontaneously to someone when a person very dear to him dies. And there are young women who struggle in this prayer and have achieved many things. When you see them, you marvel. Many times, you enter a home and see a Christian woman working there ironing and continually saying the Jesus prayer. And you say to yourself, how many people this woman surpasses? Are there not other women who do the same work, yet sing, let their minds wander, and put on one song after another? It is like the ground beneath us. The moment comes when we fall and say, but how did the ground slip out from under my feet? That ground which is taken away is time. It keeps us occupied with irrelevant things, while pushing aside and shutting us off from the one thing needful, and we do not even realize it. Like a bee, the heart goes from flower to flower, but it does not settle on everyone. It goes to those that hold the nectar for honey. There it alights and remains while passing the others by. So it is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is discerning, and when a heart, like a flower, is ready and receptive, oh, the Holy Spirit descends upon it and gives it joy and gladness.